The following WCBM program has been pre-recorded at this time.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us and coming back to hear us. Most of the hunters are probably gone by now. I would imagine they're in their stands.
I hope so. Type of thing.
Well, you know, maybe some people had to work and couldn't go, and they're still listening to the show. So.
Or maybe they already got their deer and they're back out. And
Is it a little early for that? It's a little early for that, Brian. Yeah, it's 6:05. You know, maybe they hit one on the way in. I hope they didn't hurt their truck, but, you know.
All right.
So, All right. We started down the trail on talking about sika deer in Maryland.
Sika deer.
I know we've discussed this probably in the past, but basically they all have the same genetics.
Yeah, they probably, they were introduced in the early 1900s from...
So they've been here 100 years.
Yeah, basically, they have been very close to 100 years, just maybe a hair over 100 years.
1916 is what I heard.
So there was some research done from University of Delaware recently, and they dug into the origins a little deeper, and it's kind of interesting that they have a pretty good hypothesis that or theory that they came to Maryland from Japan via the UK.
So, really?
Yeah. So
that
they,
I hadn't heard.
Yeah. So they went from Japan to the UK, and from there. They were gifted to Clement Henry in Cambridge, and he had them in Cambridge, late 1800s, early 1900s.
Right, and then released them on Assateague first or James Island first?
Yeah, he released them on James Island in the mouth of the Chop Tank.
Right.
And at that time, apparently, it was just like basically you could jump from the mainland to it was close.
Right.
Not like today. And then they slowly spread across Dorchester. He also had sold some, I think sold them or gifted them to an individual in Berlin.
Right.
And those ended up on Assateague. So same genetic stock, two separate introductions.
Right. If anybody wants to read this sika deer history, we've actually published that study from, it's an article by Adam Thomas, and there's a video attached if you want to see the video, and you'll see that in the article. But in print, we don't have a link, or even on our website, we don't have print. But you can take a look at that. But it's from the University of Delaware. What's the doctor's name over there?
Dr. Jake Bowman.
That's actually in the current issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. If you pick one up, you can read the printed version. Go online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, and you'll be able to find it.
And Dr. Dave Cobb now, he was the student that did this work, and he is actually the elk biologist for Virginia now. So
really?
He's down in South Central Virginia or Southwestern Virginia. He's their elk guy. But anyway, so it's kind of interesting.
What island
they probably Yakushima.
Yakushima.
Southern.
Yeah, I always say
Yakushima.
Fukushima, but that's where the nuclear thing is.
Yeah, Yakushima.
Yakushima.
And over there, they call them Yaku deer. For the nickname is Yaku deer. Y-A-K-U. Yeah, Yaku deer.
Shima.
And but then the Smithsonian.
Shika is actually deer in Japanese.
Yeah.
So just throwing that in.
Interesting.
That's the only Japanese word I know.
Okay, it's a good one.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
probably a couple more.
Well, karate.
Yeah,
I know that one.
Okay.
Bonsai. I used to say I know jujitsu, karate, and two other Japanese words.
Two other Japanese words,
Don't mess with
me. But anyways, the Smithsonian, did the genetics work originally
right.
for us or with us years ago, right after I started with the department.
Right.
And, there's no genetic variability in these buggers. They probably started from two individuals, and those individuals may even have been siblings, is the way it was described to me.
Wow.
But they're doing really
doing
well.
Doing great, yeah. And they could have all been necessary. They didn't. I mean, you said there's like 15 or 16 of them released on James Island, and about the same.
Maybe
we don't know. That's the old words.
Yeah.
But I mean, there could have been enough biodiversity there that we don't get that genetic.
The bottleneck.
Yeah. Bottleneck. Good word.
Yeah.
Piebald. Deer.
Yeah. They do have small antlers.
Right.
You know, when you look, there's multiple different subspecies of sika deer. Some
right.
of them are, you know, elk size,
Manchurians. Yeah.
You know, they're 300-pound individuals.
Right.
Ours are the smallest ones.
But the only wild herd in the country.
As far as I know,
The rest are exotics in Texas and that.
Yeah,
type of
there
thing.
Were. I mean, there were some free ranging ones here and there across the state or across the, you know, the United States. But yeah, definitely we have the biggest population by far.
I mean, go to the King Range and kill a black buck or
anything you want. But so they do have small antlers compared to most of the other sika subspecies,
mm-hmm.
and that probably happened though. In Japan, when that southern island split off in Japan, was probably that is a founder's effect or a bottleneck.
Okay,
the smaller antlers, but it didn't happen here. It happened. It more than likely happened. You know,
way back when.
Way back when. You
got
know,
it.
When that subpopulation split off.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, they're
a lot
here.
Of fun.
They're here and they're thriving.
Yep, they're a lot of fun. They're slowly spreading, which. We like them where they are. We don't really want a whole Delmarva Peninsula full of them. So you know, we encourage hunters to go down and help us out. They are a lot of fun to hunt. And they're very good to eat.
Delicious to eat.
Yep, better than whitetail. I think so. And
Robin won't eat a whitetail.
Yep,
she'll eat moose. She'll eat sika deer, but she won't eat a whitetail.
Yeah, I like whitetail, but
I like whitetail.
Sika
well.
definitely
sweeter,
tastier,
leaner,
yeah,
very tasty,
tender, and yeah,
more tender,
just all the way around. They're challenging to hunt. They're a little more nocturnal.
Mm-hmm.
A hard habitat to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes will carry you away in certain months, and
yeah, I think I had one hand in a glove and the other hand in the stand without the glove because I was. Receiving multiple texts from multiple people, and I wound up with 30 some mosquito bites on one hand and none on the other, and it just
that's when you know you're addicted to your phone when you
exactly
subject in your hand.
I hate that.
My sons. So
I know. Well, it's like you hear a shot and somebody goes, "Was that you?" You know, no, it wasn't. You know, it was on public land or whatever.
What do we do without phones and texting and all that stuff? You know,
we hunted.
We did.
If we shot something, we went back to camp and got somebody to help us, or we worked on did it ourselves and got it out of there.
Yeah.
That's what we did. So.
How many deer do you think aren't shot every year because of people sitting in the stand playing with their phones?
A lot.
I guarantee
a lot.
It is a lot.
A lot. Yep. Yeah. Well, I had on Saturday, the last day of the early muzzleloader season, I'm sitting in the stand, and they've taken some really nice deer out of the stand, really nice stags. And I had two hinds and a little tiny spike with antlers like a pencil, about half a pencil. And they were on the feeder in front of me at 15 yards. This is a bow sight, okay? And a stag out in the marsh, and he's bugling. Every bugle gets closer. Didn't know if I was going to see him or not, and it took a deer, nice stag out of that stand in the morning. So I'm sitting there, and I got these three, and they won't go away. They're just there.
Yeah.
And the darker it gets, the more deer start showing up. And I think I had, I've got five deer on this clearing coming towards me, but they're taking their good old time. And this stag is like getting closer. He's within 100 yards. He won't step out. You know, it's just, give me a break. They're hard to hunt.
They are. They're hard to
hunt.
Even
if you've got a good stand and bait, they're hard to hunt.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, a lot of people would disagree with me. I don't really think they're any smarter than a whitetail.
But no, I don't.
It's just their behavior, their natural behavior.
Yeah, they're very cautious. They're very nocturnal.
It makes them tougher. It makes them tougher to hunt.
Yep. Yeah.
And you can't pattern them like a whitetail. Not at all. You know, I mean, you can pattern them around a feeder.
On a feeder,
feeder. Some of them.
Yeah.
But they're hard to pattern.
And I'll shoot a hind for for food, but, yeah. you know, I'm not going to do it first thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
I waited till the last day last year to take one and didn't get the opportunity. I tagged out on my stag with firearms and walked out, 5-point walked out in front of me and 50 yards, couldn't. Yeah, 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Okay, so that's kind of the history, and you said they're spreading. How many are there?
Our current model, somewhere 10 to 15,000.
That's a big spread, though.
Yeah.
That's a very big spread.
It's a big spread because it's harder to estimate because the harvest is pretty low on them. You know, 2,000, that's a pretty low harvest to the models we use. You know, I mean, my number would be probably like 12,000. But to be safe,
what's the whitetail population?
225,000.
Really?
And that's a minimum number. Yeah.
See, that's going up.
Yeah. It was 190. It bounces around 200. We hit a low of 199 2-3 years ago. I think we were down. We were like 199. But
now, these are all models. These are estimates.
Computer estimates.
Based on harvest.
Our check. You know, we go out every year.
Right.
Muzzleloader and firearm season. We hit butcher shops in every county. We put our hands on 4,500 deer every year.
Based on car strikes?
Car strikes are factored into the model. Yeah.
What about sharpshooting in Montgomery and Howard counties? You know, I mean, Montgomery County is up over 6,000, maybe 7,000 now on sharpshooters.
Over the years. Yeah. Sharpshooting, we only take about 1,000 deer a year total in the state for sharpshooting.
Okay.
So.
I mean, yesterday, 6.
Yeah.
On one park in Howard County that I know of were sharp.
Hunters
took 3. Sharpshooters took 6.
Yeah.
But the hunters can't access here.
Right. That's
the thing.
It's a necessary, necessary evil, I guess you want to put it that way.
Sure.
So, we encourage hunting, and management by hunting every chance we get. I mean, that's the way. I mean, that's the method that works. I don't have to tell you.
No.
Last year hunters took 85,000 deer off the landscape. We don't have any other method to take 85,000 deer off the landscape.
No, you don't.
It's a very valuable tool.
That's true. No
and
question.
Hunters pay for a license to do it.
They pay for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They pay for an awful lot of stuff.
Yep, they do.
Including managing the deer management program. It comes out of hunters' dollars as well.
Yeah.
That deer management crop damage permits that are given to farmers is all administered by people in your department and paid for with hunters' dollars, even though that's a non-hunting thing. So, all right. Hey, you know what, folks? JB Farms Deer Processing is your Carroll County deer processor located at 3523 Harney Road in Taneytown, Maryland. Yep, just go through Taneytown, make a right on Harney, you'll run right into JB, big signs out there. JB Farms will skin, custom cut, wrap and freeze your deer with tasty venison specialties available too, including bologna, deer sausage, and deer hot dogs. Call 410-756-5656. Now, JB Farms can smoke your venison hams, they can slice them into chip venison, deer jerky, and much, much more. And JB Farms is an FHFH participating deer processor. Call 410-756-5656. JB Farms processes all wild game, bears and hogs and big game exotics, and they'll take care of your waterfowl, ducks and geese, and turkeys too. Best of all, JB Farms has a 24-hour drop-off for your deer. That's a 24-hour drop-off for your deer. JB Farms Deer Processing. Call 410-756-5656. Now let me tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. Located on Kent Island, that's at exit 39B Dominion Road, right off Route 50. You'll see the store on the right, and you get off the next exit and go right into the parking lot, make a right and a right into the parking lot. And they've got everything you need for deer hunting and waterfowl hunting. I mean, deer season's here, firearm season's here. They got all the ammo. They got all the shotgun slugs. They do carry rifles and shotguns, and they can special order any firearm if you want it. But they've got all the camo and all the orange and all the boots and the hip boots and the waders if you're going after those sika deer, like we talked about. They've got crossbows, 6 different brands, Matthews, Solo Cam, compound bows, firearms by Remington and Chiappa and Thompson Center and CVA, and a complete wall of muzzle loading accessories for the late muzzle loader season too. Chesapeake Outdoors, your complete place to go for deer and waterfowl hunting on Maryland's Eastern Shore. 39B Dominion Road off 50, 410-604-2500. Now let me tell you about Clyde Sport Shop. Clyde Sport Shop is your full-service sporting goods store for hunting and fishing. They specialize in Browning firearms, and they've got the full supply of Browning firearms. If you need an A5, for example, for waterfowl hunting, they've got it in camo. And the A5 is a recoil-operated semi-automatic shotgun that is very, very soft shooting. It's got 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee, and you can take that one to the bank for waterfowl hunting. They've got the Maxis. You want to check that out in 3 or 3.5-inch chambers. They've got the silver 10-gauge. If you like that, you can. Or is it a gold? I can't remember which precious metal it is. It might be a gold 10-gauge. Brian's got my book that has my cheat sheet in it, but that's okay. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108. Full gunsmithing services, scope mounting, bore sighting, repairs. They do it all. And guess what? It's time to get your old fishing rods in there and get those eyes replaced and guides replaced and new fishing line put on there for 2018. They do all that too. Clyde Sports Shop, over 60 years. We love them. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? The Spurry family has been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters, and they own the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant in St. Michael's. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge to Baltimore. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18, headed west, is now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals. Call 443-657-7187. Good Times and good crabs and seafood. It's Good Times Crab House. Call 443-657-7187.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Brian Eilers here with us. He's the Deer Project Leader in the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Wildlife and Heritage Service, and you're in charge of all the deer.
I share the duties, but
you got other folks. I mean,
we oversee.
George is out there. And
yep,
some other local
George
folks.
Tenko our regional folks are all heavily involved with deer.
Sure they are. Yeah. Yep. Tell me, in general, Brian, as far as the biological studies of deer, is all the science in pretty much? I mean, are you still working on things like EHD, CWD.
Oh yeah, there's still a lot. You know,
I mean, you guys are part of the learned. You're part of the Northeastern Deer Conference and the Southeastern Deer Conference.
Yeah, the way where we're positioned, we have a little bit in common with the Southeast, and we have a little bit in common with the Northeast. So we're a member of the Northeast Deer Technical Committee, and we're a member of the Southeast Deer Study Group.
Okay.
And so all of my counterparts from Canada to Florida to Texas to Missouri and back to Maryland, we meet with those folks. Well, I talk to them
on a regular basis, sure, yeah.
And we get together and meet at least one time a year.
Are there any challenges? Is there any, you know, back in the day, back in the turn of the century, the white-tailed deer were almost wiped out in this country.
Right.
Prior to the turn of the century, as were American bison and wild turkeys and everything else because of market hunting, commercialization, overkilling. And, I mean, we've actually wiped out the passenger pigeon and nearly American bison along rides in Teddy Roosevelt and others.
Yeah.
Who called for the conservation of these species and have rebounded. Now, overall, all those northeast, southeast, those areas, are there any common shared issues that you guys talk about?
Yeah, there are. It's funny, from a population standpoint, it really varies. You know, obviously, if you're in Canada or Maine or one of our New England states.
Well, Maine had
they're still trying to grow their deer herd.
Maine had a horrible problem. I mean, they overkilled the hunters overkilled those deer, and so did, of course, a lot of winter kill.
Right, winter kill. You know, winters are what drives their deer population
in
the north.
And there's some giant deer up in there.
Yeah, you know, here in the Mid-Atlantic, we struggle with trying to
thin them out,
you know, and then if you get into the south, it's a little bit of a mix of both, depending on where
you are.
Some
of the seasons in the south are just like, you know.
Yeah, they're not as long as they used to be, or as liberal as they used to be. But, yeah, they typically have a long season. And
we did a buck fever. Our first buck fever show, our first speaker was Sylvester Shaw. And I don't know if he's even around, alive or dead, but he's out of Georgia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he comes up, him and his wife in their camo on the plane. They come up, and he's like this backwoods guy. And he goes, it was Tennessee. Where's Buckmaster's headquarters? Is that
Alabama?
Alabama. That's where he's from. Alabama. Okay, that's where he's from. He comes up, and he goes, my name's Sylvester Shaw, and I'm from Alabama. And we have a good deer season in Alabama. Our limit is 45 deer per year. And we've been talking to DNR to see if we can get that up to 47.
Like I said, a lot of those states,
but we're there.
Of them were like a buck a day, but they're
all pulled back from
they're
that.
Pulled back. I think most of them have pulled back from that
right.
now. But yeah, but we're, we're very liberal here in Maryland.
Sure. And some would say too liberal.
Yeah, some would say too liberal. The thing is, I mean, we have these great big bag limits, but our average successful hunter takes two deer a year, 2.0.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the 14th year in a row that Brian Eiler has told us that.
So I got to remind you of that. 75% of our hunters. So we have
these are reported deer.
These are reported deer, and also based on some survey stuff we do. So So 75% of our 60,000 deer hunters, and you and I are both in that 60,000.
Sure.
Take zero to one deer. And then another.
I was in there last year. I used to be the guy that killed 10.
Yeah.
6, 8, 10 a year.
Yeah.
Now I do. I'm very selective.
Yeah.
If I do one, I'm happy.
And a lot. And that's the majority.
Right.
So we have these big bag limits, but obviously it's a very, very small number of people that are actually, using it.
Okay.
Where they are taking that many deer, it's probably a good thing because it's probably an area where we have too many deer.
How's our herd balance? We used to be out of whack on our buck to doe ratio. Where are we?
Oh, I think we're in good shape. 1 to 3, 1 to 2
really?
And a half, 1 to 3. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There in areas where we're where we have real high numbers, it may be a little higher than that, but it's biologically impossible to have. I mean, it's real easy to sit there and stand and think it's 1 to 10.
Right.
It just can't be. If you do the numbers, the population couldn't survive at that ratio.
Right.
They'd go extinct.
Right.
So it's, we're 1 to 2, 1 to 3, typically somewhere in that
we
area.
Saw, on the first day of deer season, Laura and I were in the stand. We saw 63 deer. 18 were bucks.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with that ratio.
Yeah.
But who knows how many button bucks were there. Yeah. You know.
Right.
So,
right.
But, you know, so, okay.
She got it rough. $18, man.
Yeah, I know.
You better cut back.
There were only three shooters in
you
that
bunch. You better cut back.
Yeah, only three shooters in that bunch, and two of them are dead.
You're putting a hurt in one of those deer.
Yeah, we haven't touched. We didn't touch. Dolar killed one the other night, one of those 18 also-rans.
Yeah.
Not the big shooter, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a face-off deal, you know.
Yeah. But no, you know, I mean, the numbers and the data look really good. If you look at percent yearling bucks in the harvest, that's a real popular metric that all the states use. You know, we're less than 50%.
That's down, though. We used to be 75%.
Yeah, and the western counties are still 60, 70, 80%, Garrett and Allegheny particularly.
If it's brown, it's down. If it's got something sticking up over its ear, they're going to kill it.
It's
a mindset.
Well, and it's tradition,
mindset.
It's partly regulations, you know. I mean, it's real limited antlerless seasons.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the opportunity to shoot that doe, you're probably going to shoot a buck, and it might be a little buck. So, but you know, I mean, like I said, if you look statewide, we're less than 50% yearling bucks.
A doe harvest just about every year, haven't we?
Not really.
No,
yeah, not really. Yeah.
Staying basically the same.
In our early season numbers this year, I mean, it's a lot of antler deer.
A lot
of bucks in the early season harvest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is a pretty good indicator that there's good numbers of deer out there on the landscape. So,
okay.
Yeah. But,
got it.
But, you know, region A, region B, there will always have that difference.
Yeah.
It just comes with habitat.
Habitat. Yeah. I mean, there's not
geography.
Not a lot. Yeah, so, exactly. The Western Maryland, now, you know, everybody used to go west because
right.
that's where the deer were.
Right.
And, you know, that population has changed to some degree in Western Maryland.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people out there will say, you know, I hunted 3 days and didn't see a deer.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe you were in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that's what I would offer up. I think we're talking about studies. I mean, we've done some recent studies out there, and we have pretty good data that show we probably have 20 to 30 deer per square mile, 15 in some areas where it's down. So
it's
nowhere near where it was. Don't, you know, give me 20 years, 15, 20 years ago, we had a extremely high number of deer.
Yeah,
that's fun. I mean, I don't disagree. Go out and see a bunch of deer, but it's not good for habitat. It's not good for, you know, for other wildlife.
It's not. I mean, the deer will eat themselves out of house and home.
Right.
And we saw that in Howard County, some of these areas that have managed hunt programs on the county parks. They were having 75, 80 deer per square mile, which is way too many.
Way too many. So, numbers are down, you know, probably closer to where they should be out there, and they're seeing better deer. You know, I routinely hear, man, we got some nice bucks out here now. And we're seeing that percent antler or percent yearling buck, you know, it's not as high as it was out there. And so they're coming along.
I got it.
So, yeah, they're coming along. But
good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. So, okay. Well, so our buck deer ratio is good. What about our sick of deer population? You said 12,000 or so. I mean,
around 12,000.
And we killed 2,000. You know, I've always said this. You know, if we kill a third of our population every year, that's pretty good deer management.
Yeah. And we're under harvesting sick of deer.
Under harvesting.
Yeah, I would say we're under harvesting sick of deer. So,
Everybody's waiting for that stag.
We have pretty good data. Yeah. For, you know, I mean, one of the studies that was done within the last 5 or 6 years, we had a, you know, University of Delaware student had radio collared. A large number of male calves
right
there, though, and like 85% of them survived.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
weren't killed during hunting season, you know, and when we have hinds, we, you know, we've had tagged hinds live 20 years. That's pretty good. And both of those things are pretty good indicators that pressure is pretty, relatively speaking, it's pretty
low. I mean, we have no shortage of deer where we hunt.
Right.
Okay. Like I said, there's seven hinds and a spike on the feeder. We don't shoot the spikes, okay?
Good.
We manage them to some degree. And branched antler only. You know, you're allowed a 4-point if you want. You're allowed a 5-point, 6-point, whatever. Of course, everybody's kind of waiting for that 6-point.
Yeah.
We don't kill the hinds early. And, you know, maybe that's a mistake. Maybe we should take a few more hikes.
Wouldn't hurt.
But the philosophy is...
I know what the philosophy is.
What's the philosophy?
Keep them there to keep the stags there.
Exactly. Yep. If there's does there, the stags are going to be interested.
I know what the philosophy is.
All right.
You just need some of that Sika scent.
Yeah.
On a cotton ball.
On a cotton ball, yeah.
On a myrtle bee.
I'll think about that. I'll think about that. On a myrtle tree?
Yeah, on a myrtle tree.
No,
Sika deer are doing really well. Now, they've maybe redistributed themselves somewhat. You know, I mean, we're seeing higher numbers, what I would call the northern, more of their range. And I know there's areas where, you know, I've heard that we're traditionally really high in Sika numbers. And maybe they're not quite so high now. I don't know. But bottom line is we have a good harvest on Sikas every year.
So, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. And a good harvest is 2,000 to 3,000?
Yeah. 2,500.
Yeah. Ballpark.
Somewhere in that
area. Now, the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge bag limits don't apply to that, correct?
Correct. They're exempt.
They're exempt. Mm-hmm. So they have their own bag limits, their own seasons, and everything else.
Their season, yeah, they do.
I mean,
they overlap ours, but their bag limit is exempt. And we've looked at that, and there's very few people that do both, that take advantage of both. Like if I have the ability, I can look. It's very rare that you have someone that takes a stag on Blackwater and takes a stag off of Blackwater.
Sure.
It's very rare.
Okay.
It tends to be either or. So.
Let me tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. We mentioned some of the Brownings. It was the gold light 10-gauge, not the silver light 10-gauge. I mean, there's a silver series out there. I just don't talk about it that much. But here's what we've got. We've got the BPS pump. We've got the Maxxis in 3 or 3.5-inch chamber. Now, that's a power drive gas system recoil deal. The pump action, of course, is your own action with the pump. The A5 is a recoil operated, what they call kinematic drive system, which makes it a little more softer shooting. And that's the one with 100,000 round, 5-year guarantee, the A5. This is the traditional Browning with the humpback receiver and that type of thing. And then the gold light 10 gauge is a 3.5-inch chamber. It's got a composite stock, armor coating, mossy oak camo on that, too, for the waterfowl hunters. Now, I do want to tell you about one rifle, and that's the Hell's Canyon Speed. That comes in ATAX Arid Urban Camo with a DuraTouch finish. It's got a Cerakoted barrel and receiver. It also has a threaded sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake. So you take a look at that one, the Hell's Canyon, if you're looking for a high-end, high-powered rifle that's lightweight and good for whatever you want to use it for. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307, your full-line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, phone number 410-242-6108. They've been around for 60 years. Stop by and see them. Also carry the Browning ammunition as well. Now, we're going to talk about Chesapeake Outdoors, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on just off Route 50 on Kent Island, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island. And they're open early and open till like 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, Sunday 5 to 5. So they got plenty of convenient hours for the waterfowlers. They do waterfowl picking. They got the waterfowl calls, the decoys, the steel shot, the gear, the camo. Full line Yeti dealer. They got all the bags and tumblers and coolers that you need. Bandit and Under Armour camo. All the boots, hips, and waders that you could ever want or imagine. Firearms from Remington, Chiappa, Escort, muzzleloaders from CVA and Thompson Center. Don't forget, a lot of different, looks like 6 different types of crossbows, including the brand new Raven. It was the rave of the ATA show this past January. And Matthew Solo Cam for you guys that like a good compound bow. Chesapeake Outdoors, exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. We'll be right back after this. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Liner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. I don't go through the fast food drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 heading to the deer stand or the duck blind. I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. And from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think big donut or call 410-228-9111. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me and Robin there.
The following WCBM program has been pre-recorded at this time.
Started a joke.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with for our final segment here with Brian Eiler, and he is with Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. He's the deer project leader with a good crew underneath him out in the field. We talked a lot about the management today.
Yep.
We talked about population. We talked about a little bit of safety in the first hour. But if you're just getting out there now, we just want to remind you a few things about safety. So, Brian, you talked about orange.
Yeah, wear your orange. You know, I mean, whether you're on private land or public land or whatever, and whether actually, I mean, you are required to wear orange now on, you know,
everywhere.
On private land. Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So wear your orange.
Even
if you're the landowner, if you're going to be hunting from a tree stand.
Some of them don't like it, by the way.
So, yeah, I can understand.
My property, I'll wear what I want to wear, even if I get killed not wearing it.
Yeah, it's a safety issue.
It really is a safety issue.
Exactly.
If
you're going to be hunting in a tree stand, which a lot of us do, wear that harness.
Make sure you're locked in.
Make sure you practice good gun safety.
There's the key right there. Yep.
Be sure of your target, muzzle in a safe direction, finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot.
So, and safety is a mechanical device that is inclined to fail.
Yep. Designed to fail or inclined to fail. Yep.
Yep.
So, be safe. Have fun.
Yep.
So,
exactly
that's
right.
That's the best thing you can do. So.
Just observe those things you learned in hunter safety course, or things that make sense.
Right.
You don't point your gun at anything you don't intend to shoot.
Right.
Keep that muzzle pointed in a safe direction, because what happens if, you know, you're walking around, you're waving that gun around, you're having a conversation, and the gun goes off, and it happens to be pointed at your child or a relative or a friend or something like that. You don't want that.
Change your life forever.
It will do that.
In a very bad way.
It will. And so we'll fall out of a tree stand.
Yep. So. We have an apprentice license this year.
Yes, we do. Let's talk about that.
So we didn't talk about that.
All right.
So, yeah, so that's new. If you've never had a Maryland hunting license before, it's mainly designed for people that haven't hunted before. But it doesn't have to be that. But yeah, if you've never had a Maryland hunting license before, you can take a short online safety course.
Right.
And then you can buy a one-time apprentice license to hunt in Maryland.
It's $10. You've got to be with a mentor.
Got to be with a mentor.
And the mentor, unlike the youth season, if you're deer hunting, the mentor can actually carry a firearm at that point.
Correct.
With an apprentice.
Correct.
If you're in a stand together, and it's first today, like the first day of deer season, even if you're on apprentice license, unlike
junior hunt,
right? Yes,
very different. Yeah,
very different. The mentor, parent, whoever it might be,
cannot
carry
any
lethal weapon, any tool designed for deer hunting here in Maryland. But on the apprentice license, during the regular season, you can do so.
They can do so. Then if the apprentice takes a full-blown hunter safety course, then they don't have to have the mentor there.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, the way it's designed, you get on, you take that short hunter safety course online, and, it's $10
or $20,
$25 for a non-resident,
right,
I believe.
For the year, though.
For a year. It's a great deal.
We've got, if you go to the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page or Bucks, Bears, and Stags Facebook page, there have been a number of junior hunters that were mentored. Some of them got their apprentice license, you know, and they've taken nice deer already.
Yeah,
the point is, it's to get somebody interested in hunting.
Yeah.
Try before you buy a tuck.
Try before you go full blown hunter safety. Try it out, see if you like it.
Yep.
And
I'm sure many lessons are taught in the stand by the mentor at that time. I mean, just like I did with Jacob, you know.
Yep.
And he's out on his own now. He doesn't want to sit with Grandpa in the stand,
You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing?
He knows I know what I'm doing. But, you know, he wants to – he's a little – he's 18 now. He's a little independent, so I don't blame him. Good for him, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the deer Laura shot, you know, I've been hunting for Laura for 5 years. You know, this buck comes in. I said, "Are you going to shoot that?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm going to shoot it." I said, "Okay. All right." And the deer comes into the feeder and takes a few bites of corn or whatever and walks back out into the field. And he's only 18 yards.
Yeah.
And I said, "You better draw." She said, "Well, I'm waiting until he gets closer." I said, draw now because he's coming, And he got through the first opening. I couldn't stop him. He hit the second opening, you know, with the mouth bleep and, you know, the old map.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old map call.
Yeah.
And he stopped and she, you know.
Connected, good.
Oh, beautiful shot.
Good.
So,
a good deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there are still lessons to be learned.
Oh, yeah.
Even at my age, I learned things, you know, believe it or not. It's my 50th year in the woods, you know.
50 years.
Well, 50 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah, and you're just a kid. You'll be 50 here in a little while. And Noah over here, our producer, he's just now 40. So, you young whippersnappers.
Uh-huh, yeah. They didn't even have rifles when you started, huh?
No. We had to throw
flintlocks.
Well, that's for the rich guys. We had to use tomahawks and rocks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we had a jump on them season.
So. Technology has come a long way,
especially with cell phones.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking hunting implements. I mean, and cell phones too. But you know, I mean, we got a lot of cool gear out there.
Very nice cool gear.
If you're a gadget guy or gal, boy, it's the prime time.
The packs just get heavier instead of lighter. You know, I shot my first deer. You know what I had? I had a rope and a knife with me and my bow and a couple of arrows.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I might have even forgot the rope.
Yeah.
Or the knife. One of the two. But we got the deer. That was the main thing. So that was 1970.
1970 with a bow.
A Browning Cobra recurve bow.
Nice.
Yep.
Not too many of them killed with a bow back in those days.
Port Orford so. Cedar arrows with a Hilbre point.
Yep.
Triple fletched 5-inch feathers.
Yep.
Standing on, there were two big oak trees. One had been cut off at the stump about 6 feet high. I scrambled up on there. I was standing on the stump, and the button buck walked in, looked at me, and I shot, and he dropped. And, of course, I jumped down immediately and pushed him. And he went through this big brush pile. And just before he went in, I had another arrow drawn. I was on the ground, and I shot, and I hit him in the front leg joint. None of it slowed him down.
Yeah.
But he went through this big brush pile, and I crawled through after him. And when he came out on the other side, he had three ways to go, straight, left, or right. Left and straight went into the field. I thought, well, this deer's going for the woods. 45 minutes later, and after it got dark, I'm getting ready to go. You know, my car was in the shop, so my dad's picking me up. I was getting ready to walk. I was walking out, and I looked over, and there's this brown lump in the field. And I said, hey.
That's him, huh?
That's him.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, good deal.
That was my first one.
Yep.
Yep.
Is that Maryland or Pennsylvania?
That was Pennsylvania. Somerset County, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yep. 16. It's been a while. Been a long time.
Yeah.
I think that picture's on the website, LSL.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, take a look. I had a red camo hat on, you know. Yeah, the old standard military camo, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
You know.
We probably harvested around 5,000 deer in Maryland that year.
Probably.
Now we harvest 85 to 100,000.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
So. It is crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wonderful sport. It's a wonderful endeavor. It's a wonderful tradition. And, you know, I mean, back in the day, like I said, you went to Western Maryland, you camped for a week, and, you know, that type of thing. And what was the name of that check-in station out there on Sideland Hill? Long time ago.
On Sideland Hill.
Yeah, going up the mountain. Shipways?
Couldn't tell you.
That's before your time.
Yeah, I don't think there was one there
in
my time.
Yeah, Bill Burton. You remember Bill Burton?
Yeah.
He was there. He was there one time, and he watched this guy come in, and the guy said, I want to check this deer in. They went out, and they went, hey, buddy, that's a goat.
So that's why we have that column on our data sheets. So for...
Yeah. Buck, doe, whitetail, sitka, other.
Other, yeah.
Hey, okay. well, we got just a couple minutes left.
Yep.
What's our fallow deer population in Maryland? Any wild ones out there left?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, there's remnants.
I think there are. I guess there's some that are breeding. I don't know. But
Talbot
County. There's definitely some free-ranging ones in Talbot.
Right.
And we do get occasionally out of, Cecil, Harford, that area.
Prince George's.
In the past, we have had them come out of PG. I'm trying to think. I don't know that we've had any recently come out of Southern Maryland.
Right.
But we get them out of Talbot every year.
Right.
Yeah, we get them out of Talbot every year.
And it's a deer. It's checked in
just
like
a whitetail. Yeah. I mean, you tell us what it is, but it counts against your
whitetail
bag limit.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's no separate bag limit.
Yeah, they're escaped from captivity.
Used to be one in a gun shop up in Cecil County that came out of, what's public hunting area up there in Cecil County? Near Cecilton? Earlville.
Yeah, probably Earlville.
Could have been
the one you're thinking about. Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know we've had them come off of Earlville in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might be one you're thinking about.
Yeah.
So, they're out there. It's not a lot of them, but they are out there.
So if you see a white deer or a strange-looking antlered deer,
they have different color. They can be like
gray.
Yeah, gray.
Dark brown.
Real dark chocolate. There's some variation.
Yep.
So,
I got it.
And some of them just look very similar to a whitetail.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
Very good. Well, Brian, we certainly appreciate you joining us today. I mean, we didn't touch on any real hot-button issues.
No.
I mean, we did a little bit, but I just want to let people know that the Maryland Hunting Coalition is on top of the hunting situation here in Maryland. We're dealing with a couple things that we can't really spill the beans yet, but they have to do with the deer, scientific deer management as opposed to other options. And we're working with that. And how much time do I have? Another minute? 2 minutes? Okay. I got to fill 2 minutes here. So I just want to let folks to know that, keep an eye on Maryland Hunting Coalition. By the way, I probably mentioned this last week, but we did hit our fundraising goal. But We just drew the winner's name on Thanksgiving, and we've notified that winner for our Hunter's Choice raffle.
Okay, good.
Yep, we still have the BPS shotgun, the engraved Ducks Unlimited shotgun. Blazing Camo Day, our Hunter's Rally in Annapolis is February 1st. And then our fundraiser event this coming year is in Westminster at Martin's, March 31st. So I just want everybody to be aware of what's going on with Maryland Hunting Coalition and Bucks, Bears, and Stags, another endeavor. We've got a lot of great bucks, potentially a new whitetail state record.
Awesome.
Typical whitetail, yep, with a bow.
So, awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So check out those Facebook pages and websites, bucks-bears-stags.com and mdhuntingcoalition.org for what we're involved with here. So, and Maryland Hunting Quarterly, too. And that's totally spelled out, marylandhuntingquarterly.com. That edition is online, and there's a lot of good information, including that sick of deer,
yeah,
Delaware study that you talked about. We've got that there, and then
we appreciate you getting the word out for this conference.
We do our best. We certainly do. So, again, Brian, thanks to you, your department.
Thank you.
The communications folks that approved your visit here today, and we just want to say, keep doing what you do. We've got good deer management here, and you've got a good crew of people. So.
We do. We have a great staff. So.
Indeed. So, all right, brother. Well,
thank you much.
We got to go. Everybody, get out, and stay safe this first day of deer season.
Enjoy.
See the funny little clown. See him laughing as you walk by. Everybody thinks he's happy, 'cause you never see a tear in his eye. No one knows he's crying. No one knows he's dying on the inside. 'Cause he's laughing on the outside. No one knows. No one knows. See the funny little clown, he's hiding behind a smile. They all think he's laughing, but I know he's really crying all the while. But he keeps laughing on the outside.